Barbara, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 18. There's some great teaching there, and I know you've got a handle on it, so let's go for it.
Well, it's my favorite story. Of all the stories that Jesus told, it is my favorite because I have something personal in here, and it's the fact that I owed a debt that I couldn't pay, and he didn't put that against my account. He was a bookkeeper that erased all accounts. And here in Matthew 18, verse 23, right after Jesus says, "I do not say to you, Peter, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Then he goes into, "For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents." Now, here's a king. He wanted to settle all accounts. And I believe, Darren, it's so important for us to settle accounts as human beings, as believers in the kingdom of God. We need to close some doors. We need to settle accounts. If you have to call somebody today and say, "You know, I've had aught against you, and I want to settle that account," and I say, "Please forgive me." You ask that person, even though you feel that person has offended you, you say, "Will you forgive me for having aught against you, for holding unforgiveness in my heart against you? Will you forgive me?" And that person might say, "Whoa, I've never had anything against you," but it's important for you to clear accounts. And that's what happened to this king here. He wanted to clear accounts, to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, Darren, in the Greek, this is $10 million.
In today's money.
Yes. Now, settle accounts and a slave owes you $10 million.
So
now,
we'd say today in street terms, it sounds like it won the lotto.
Well, and I'll tell you what, most people would say, "I'm going to sue you. I'm going to get as much as I can out of you." But this king, and since he did not have the means to repay, this slave could not have possibly paid $10 million because he was a slave in the first part. And I don't know how he had gathered all this money against the king, the master.
That's
but
what I'm curious about. How'd he get $10 million in the hole?
Yeah, how'd he get $10 million in the hole? He did not have a means to repay, and his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. That way he could get some money back if he sold him as slaves. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before this king, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." It would have been impossible for him to repay him everything, but he fell down on his knees and begged him. And the king, the lord of the slave, felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Boy, does that remind me of the debt I owe. And Jesus paid it, Darren. I mean, it was a debt I could not pay, and Jesus paid it for me. And the slate was clear.
You know, there's a song that says, "Jesus paid a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He paid your debt." That's
yes.
What he did by shedding his blood. He paid your debt. He paid all of our debts.
Yes, it says Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
That makes the Lord's Prayer a little more meaningful.
Forgive
us our
does.
Debts as we forgive our debtors. I'll tell you, folks, this matter of forgiveness is a divine privilege. You need to get really acquainted with how you can be forgiven and how you can forgive. And 1 John 1:9 says, "He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness."
Mm.
Now, but that's when you confess and you admit you're a sinner. And some people, that's so hard for them to admit. And what drives that stake in the ground? Pride.
Yes.
Pride. Well, I just don't want to admit that, I say to some people, "Are you born again?" "No, I was born a Christian." Well, no, you're born stupid. We're all born in sin. And we all have to come to the fact that we are sinners and we need to be forgiven. We can't get that on our own. We have to go to Jesus to get that.
That's right. And sometimes we hold our neighbor and our friend to a higher accountability. We say, "You owe me $2,000. What's $2,000 in this eternal thing of forgiveness? It's nothing. And so here, the Lord of the slave in verse 27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him that impossible huge debt. That reminds us of how Jesus has paid the debt for every one of us. How dare we hold our neighbor to a small debt when Jesus has paid that huge debt for you? But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and that's one day's wages. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." We take people to court, Darren, as believers. And I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "How dare we go to a worldly court to sue our friend and our neighbor over small issues. And we do that, Darren, every day of our lives here in the United States of America. And his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But this slave that was forgiven $10 million, Darren, he was unwilling and went and threw this fellow slave into prison until he should pay back what was owed. And that was just one day's wage. We get that way. We get asinine in our especially finances, If somebody owes us, I remember a person who felt like you owed him $2,000, and he took us to small claims court, and we were standing beside him while we were filing our names for this.
And he was a believer.
And he's a spirit-filled believer, and I talked to him. I said, "How dare you go to court as a believer and a former friend of Darren's over $2,000 when Jesus paid such a huge amount for you?" And I led him. I had my Bible there, and I said, "Look here in Matthew 18. This man owed his king a $10 million debt, and still that king forgave him. And you are taking Darren to court over $2,000. That reminds me of that unrighteous slave that choked his friend, his former friend, and said, "You owe me, and I'm not going to let you go until you pay me back."
You know, I just have to say this at this point. If you have somebody come and they want to borrow money from you, I wouldn't loan it to them. If I couldn't give it to them, I wouldn't do anything.
No.
And because I tell you, if you loan money, that's a great doorway for the devil to come in and whack on both of you.
It really
is. And I've watched you do that, Barbara. I've watched you say, "Well, no, we're not going to loan the money. We're going to just, if we have it, if we have the, you know, the funds here to loan, we're not going to make it a loan. We're going to make it a gift." And
yes.
If we can't make it a gift, and I do admire one thing about, well, several things about you, Barbara, I admire. But one thing I do admire in the financial arena, when you give something, it's hands down. You don't hold on to it, and you don't have any expectation of anything in return.
Oh,
it's
Darren,
a gift, it's a gift.
I've learned so much. I mean, if I've ever learned anything in this life, I've learned that's the most important thing. And verse 31 here, when he threw this man in prison, his fellow slaves saw what had happened, and they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord, the king, all that had happened. Then summoning him, this wicked slave, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, you wicked." He didn't call him, you know, you've slipped a little bit here. You've stubbed your toe. He was evil and wicked for what he had done, the actions he had done. "I forgave all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave, even as I have had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Now, you know, he cannot repay the $10 million that was owed him. "And so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." This is Jesus speaking, Darren, and this is very serious. And this is a parable that everyone should read often.
Well, you can often say that torture was a $10 million torture. I mean, how are you going to repay when you're being tortured or you're in jail?
I believe that it's going to be an eternal torture.
I do too.
I really do.
We know we also have a factor here of resentment, and it's the excitement of passion which proceeds from a sense of wrong offered to ourselves or to those connected to us. So the anger provokes us at God. "Why did you take my baby?" Or, "Why did you cause me to lose my job?" Or whatever. I have seen from my experience in the school system, a child gets a grade that the parent doesn't agree with. They come to school with great passion and intensity and with murder in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're after the teacher, and then they go up the line to the principal, and then they're after the school board, and they're after everybody because their pride has been challenged because the kid got a B instead of an A.
Have you ever seen a person, their actual face gets flushed?
No.
They get red in the face because this is holding on to them.
Well, I've had them in my office. And, you know, some of them say, "Now listen, my kid doesn't get good grades, they won't get a scholarship, and they won't be able to go to a good college." And then I saw a report the other day on television that many of the bright, quote-unquote, bright students, it was a high percentage agreed, "Yeah, we cheated in high school, we had to. If we didn't get the good grades, we won't get into the good colleges," and blah, 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 blah. Well, who set them up to think that way? The parents' pride.
Wow.
Instead of saying, "You know, you're going to be my child whether you get an A, B, or C, or a D, even an F. You're still going to be my son and my daughter. And you don't have to have a 4.0. You don't have to be a straight-A student to be acceptable here at home. And we'll find a way to get you into school, to get you into college,"
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of taking that. But the passion sometimes that comes along with that, I mean, it's like the whole family's birthright is on the line.
Yeah, the